Reading from Psalms. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord of God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
I invite you to stand for the gospel. Reading from the Holy Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the good news. May be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. 3 young men were sitting together in a hospital waiting room back in the day when the guys weren't allowed in, all anxiously awaiting for some word about their wives who were giving birth. Well, after waiting for several hours, a nurse finally rushed into the room and said to one of them, "Good news, your wife just had twins." "Hey, what a coincidence," the man shouted. "I'm a baseball player and I play with the Minnesota Twins." Well, about an hour later, again, the nurse returned and said to one of the other men, "My, what good news we are announcing today. Your wife just gave birth to triplets." "Now, there's a coincidence," the man said. "I work for the 3M company." Well, at this point, the third man got up and walked out of the room and suddenly fainted there in the hallway, flat to the floor. Immediately, the nurse rushed to him and began to revive him. You know where I'm going. Then, as a matter of routine, she checked his wallet for identification, and there it was. He was a salesman for 7-Up. Today, we're going to look. Thank you. Thank you for laughing. You're so kind. Today, we're going to look at another dad. His name was Joseph. Joseph of Nazareth, the forgotten one. Thinking back to the times of Christmas pageants, there was a worried mother who telephoned the church office on the very afternoon, of course, of the annual Christmas pageant to inform the superintendent that her son, who was to play the part of Joseph in the play, had come down with the flu and was now resting in bed. Well, it's too late to get another Joseph, the superintendent replied. We'll just have to write him out of the script. And they did just that. But do you know, very few of those who watched the pageant that evening ever realized that the cast was incomplete. Joseph of Nazareth, the most neglected person, perhaps, in the Christmas story. Who would ever think about Christmas without singing angels and bright-eyed shepherds and royal wise men and the young mother Mary, of course, giving birth to our Lord? We couldn't have Christmas without them, but Joseph, well, we often write him out of the script. Even the great artists of the world would have been content to make Joseph part of the dark background of their paintings. And very sad, that is, because we need to remember, you and I, Joseph played a very important part in the Christmas story. You see, it was this man, Joseph, this sensitive person, who was chosen by God to support Mary, the mother, and to protect the newborn Jesus. And it was this man, Joseph, who, along with Mary, would one day teach Jesus the values and responsibilities of human life. Who was this forgotten one? Actually, you and I, we know very little about him. We do know that he lived in Nazareth at the time of his engagement to Mary. His family, however, had its roots in Bethlehem. And it was because of this that Joseph had to travel with Mary to be taxed and counted at the time of Jesus' birth. We know also that Joseph was of the house and lineage of David. There was royal blood in the family tree, and yet Joseph was a poor man, a working carpenter who built doors and beams for houses, made yokes for oxen, and carts for them to pull. And the picture that seems to be painted of Joseph is that of some everyday, ordinary kind of person, probably some big guy with rough and calloused hands wearing dusty clothes. Joseph never wrote his memoirs, and nowhere in all the Bible is a single word of his quoted. And yet it is this ordinary man who is chosen to be the earthly father of the Son of God. Now it's interesting to note, Matthew is the only gospel writer to bring Joseph into the picture very much. First, he tells us there was a betrothal between Joseph and Mary for a year, a kind of engagement, whereby arrangements were made. Some of the biblical movies on TV show some of this. The blessings had been given, the announcement had been made from the village synagogue, the gifts exchanged. It was official. Mary and Joseph were as good as married. All that remained now was the final ceremony. But several weeks later, Joseph's whole world would collapse when Mary, the woman he trusted, confessed that she was with child. She went on to tell her incredible story, how the child that she was carrying was God's, and how an angel named Gabriel announced to her that this baby was to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Well, poor Joseph, you and I can imagine him struggling with that. How can she expect him to be so gullible, so naive? It all seemed unthinkable that his Mary could be pregnant from another, and yet at the same time, it seemed just as impossible that God could be the father of this child. Imagine his feelings, hurt, discouraged, confused, angry. And this is real stuff, not some fairy tale. And Joseph is no Prince Charming on a white horse taking Snow White to live happily ever after with him. No, Joseph is agonizing over real life in all of its pain and disappointment. What should he do? After all, his young wife, Mary, had been unfaithful, and if the news got out after Mary's pregnancy, she could be stoned to death for committing adultery. You see, according to the law at that time, Mary was the guilty one, and she deserved the death penalty. No matter what Mary had done, though, Joseph loved her. Well, all of this brings us then to the words of Matthew and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But then we are told, following this inner struggle of Joseph, he falls into a restless sleep. And as he tosses and turns and twists, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. What she has conceived is conceived through and by the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son, whom you will call Jesus, for it is he who will save people from their sins." And then Joseph wakes from his sleep with a change of heart. He marries the woman he loves, and together they parent a son, Jesus. Now, we don't hear much about Joseph following the birth in Bethlehem. We are told that he takes Mary and their newborn son to Egypt for 2 years to hide from Herod the king. And his last appearance in the pages of Scripture is when Jesus is 12 years old. After that, Joseph seems to disappear from the gospel story. Some scholars believe that Joseph died when Jesus was a teenager. Perhaps we'll never know for sure. But this seems certain, my friends, that this ordinary man, Joseph of Nazareth, must have influenced his son's life, working with Jesus in the carpenter shop, together sharing stories of the Hebrew faith, worshiping in the village synagogue together. There's a story of a great opera star who received laryngitis on the very night of his performance in Chicago. The theater was sold out, standing room only. And when they made the announcement that this great vocalist could not perform, the audience became rather angry. And then his understudy had the unenviable task of singing the lead role in the opera that night. The curtain rose, the understudy stepped into his role and filled the theater with beautiful music. He sang magnificently in the whole first act. But when the curtain came down, even though he sang beautifully, no one applauded. They just sat there in a kind of pouting silence. They simply wanted their singing hero, no one else. But then all of a sudden, from way, way in the back, a pair of tiny hands began to applaud. Everyone turned to see who the traitor was. They saw a 6-year-old boy standing on his seat, applauding and shouting, "Sing it again, Dad. You were great. sing it again. And with that, others began to applaud, until finally everyone was on their feet with cheers. I think Jesus must have had that kind of admiration for his earthly dad, because Joseph must have been a very good father, or Jesus would not have ever used the word father to describe God. It's interesting to note, one theologian points out that there was a lot of Joseph in Jesus Christ, especially Joseph's gentleness. There's a carol about that, right? And he goes on to say that as Joseph decided to put Mary away quietly, there is something of that spirit in Jesus when 30 years later, the master steps into the midst of an angry mob ready to stone a woman to death and says, "Who of you here has never sinned?" And then as they walk away one by one, dropping their stones to the ground, Jesus turns to the guilty woman and says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." I think there's a lot of Joseph in that gentle Galilean. Joseph of Nazareth will never go down in history as the leading man in the Bethlehem drama. He'll never have the glamour of the angels or the bright-eyed wonder of the shepherds or the royalty of those travelers from the east. But as Joseph stands in the shadows of the manger, a kind of supporting actor, let us never forget that this man was real. He was ordinary. He was a father who taught his son about the meaning of life and how good it is to love and be loved. Joseph of Nazareth, may we never forget you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the marvelous plan of sending to the world your son, Jesus, to save and to redeem humanity. We marvel at how you came in such an ordinary way and place, through ordinary people like Joseph and Mary. We learn from them lessons of obedience and trust, devotion and commitment, and pray that the birth of your son would evoke such responses in us. May your story once again become real for us, and call us, each one, to deeper faith. Let all the people say, amen.